This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news at theparacast.com. That's news at theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Eric Ouellet, the question on the table about whether the, shall we say, easy or too quick adoption of the ETH extraterrestrial hypothesis has inhibited proper investigation into the phenomenon?
I would say yes, because definitely there are people who are, you cannot have dialogues with them because they decided the truth is the ETH and end of story. However, I would like to add a little spin to this question because from my perspective, those who are the hard believer in the ETH as a collective, as people who spread that story, narrative around actually contributes to the belief that, you know, there's aliens visiting us. And in a way, again, as I said earlier, they create conditions for genuine anomalies to occur. So from my perspective, I include them in my model and my approaches that they actually participate in creating UFOs because they're spreading beliefs about very strange things in the sky. And that's a very different way to look at it. And of course, when I approach people and discuss that way, if they are the hard believers in the ETH, they usually don't appreciate much that approach. But in my model, there's room for people like that as well.
I find it actually really interesting and would like to understand it a little better, because if I'm hearing you correctly, you're not opposed to the idea that we are dealing with some sort of objective material craft. And I'm certainly not opposed to the idea that the objects in some UFO reports could be the product of some people's minds. But we've got two completely different contexts, and yet you're saying that one can affect the other. So how is it that when people have a experience that involves an actual craft of some kind, that their experience of that creates more other types of experiences? It's kind of like, maybe, are we talking, Gene, maybe you can help me with this. Is that sort of like what Bishop is talking about with co-creation?
Well, we're participating in what we see. So if we're conditioned culturally to expecting spaceships in the science fiction world, certainly that would contribute to the final observation.
How about you, Eric? How does that work? How does, say, an experience of an actual independently objective craft of some type generate the experience of a purely mental experience in someone else?
Well, the issue is that if you have, let's assume there's a craft from another world coming, then someone reports it, and that person has a lot of strong evidence, not decisive evidence, but strong evidence that convinces a lot of people. Yeah, indeed, we might be visited by people from another world. And then this dialogue, this narrative spreads around by the normal means of people, you know, exchanging, and today, you know, mass media and the internet. And that creates a context, a social context, where people actually are more amenable to believe that indeed we're visited by aliens or people from another world. And then this creates conditions actually for seeing things that and projecting things that would be really weird, but not actually physical spacecraft. But they are definitely within the realm of parapsychology, because then they would be shared telepathically. They may have actually psychokinesis effect on the side, and so on. So there's no hard division between the two, because once you have something inserted into a community, it can have all kinds of effects, including parapsychological effects.
That's really interesting. And it's sort of, if you follow each step along the way, there's a certain sort of logic to it. Do you think it can happen the other way around, where, say, people in a community become interested in the subject, say, from because they're watching a television show that focuses on alien visitation? Do you think that that sort of shared communal experience could attract an objectively real interest by independent entities that we would refer to as aliens in some sort of craft to, say, become involved in that, to attract their attention in some way?
I would say, in principle, that no, I don't think it's the other way around is impossible. However, I would think that the other way around might actually be objects that, for a short period of time, maybe appeared, and then there might be some physical element to it. It could be a ball of lightning that, for a short period of time, takes a shape of a classic flying saucer, and that's caused by psychokinesis, and then that shape of electricity then disappears. So it could be also that the other way around, in playing with natural phenomena through psychokinesis. There are some cases that discuss that, so I think this is something worth looking into it as well.
That's really interesting. So we are talking then about a mental phenomena producing a physical phenomena. And, that gets way out there for sort of the mainstream scientists, not just the, sort of hardcore nuts and bolts ufologists. Really we're kind of stretching there the boundaries of what would be considered, science more into pseudoscience, or maybe something that author Sharon A. Hill, who we had on recently, would call something scientifical as opposed to actually scientific.
Well, obviously here we're on the edges of research, but the issue is that ufology, in my opinion anyway, has been stuck for a long, long time. And if we want to get unstuck, we have to start to look at other options and expand our horizon, because otherwise we will not get any more results. I'm fully aware that what I'm proposing is in many ways speculative, but I'm trying to start with some example, some research out of parapsychology or some documented spontaneous cases that at least points in direction that okay, then maybe there's some possibilities there that needs to be explored. That's what I'm trying to do. Try to expand the field, because obviously the good old explanations just haven't delivered much, and so we need to try something different.
Well, then again, maybe the tired explanation is also the true explanation. Maybe it's just because we as intelligent beings are driven to find things that interest us. And once something becomes boring, we try to put into it ourselves something that makes us more interested in following the subject. But it's certainly possible that we are simply dealing with craft from some other world, and that we don't need to go beyond that explanation, because if we do, we just will be confusing things even more.
I agree. However, an explanation that is more complex and requires more thinking, in the end, is usually more satisfying. But if people are seek a quick, simple explanation, well, the ETH is there. If you look in the phenomena, if you talk to experiencers, you quickly see that's far more complex. There's far more variety of experiences out there than we can imagine if we only read general books about UFOs.
Let me just interject here. And that is one of the bugaboos I have with some of the UFO research organizations. Can you hear us move on? Is that when they collect data from eyewitnesses to anything, it is still heavily focused on an external event rather than the individual, that you never know what there is about that individual that may have or caused this event to be perceived. We've got Eric, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, we've made such a deal with HelloFresh, and it means that everyone listening to this show can receive $30 off your first week of deliveries when you go to HelloFresh.com and use the offer code PARACAST30. You know, with HelloFresh, you can choose the delivery day that works best for you. They've got a wide variety of chef-curated recipes that change weekly. And can you imagine me cooking Japanese panko chicken? It makes me feel like I'm a chef. It means also that you could actually get your meal cooked in 30 minutes. For busy people, this is perfect. The simple recipes include step-by-step instructions so even I can figure it out. Go to HelloFresh.com, use the offer code PARACAST30 to get $30 off your first week of deliveries. HelloFresh.com.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Marijuana has unleashed a green gold rush across our nation. It's creating $10.8 billion in new wealth a year. And every day, it's transforming more and more Americans into millionaires. Former Speaker of the House John Boehner reveals how you could become one of them. Join him online for the American Cannabis Summit. Attendance is 100% free, but space is limited. Join online at www.acs2018.com. John Boehner and an esteemed panel will reveal which cannabis stocks are primed to deliver life-changing windfalls. Plus, they will show you how to become a cannabis angel investor, backing the hottest startups before they potentially become worth billions of dollars.
To join the American Cannabis Summit, visit acs2018.com or text JOIN to 76280. Don't miss this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Text JOIN to 76280. Text JOIN to 76280 now.
This is Fred.
Hi, I'm Fred.
Fred's a repeater.
I tend to repeat.
Fred has a business.
I do have a business.
And a problem. Fred repeats the same tired advertising over and over, and now it doesn't work.
Over and over.
But Fred is about to see a vision.
I'm seeing a vision.
Advertising on the Genesis Communications Network is the smart way for Fred to reach his potential customers with the most affordable national advertising rates, period. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just email advertise@gcnlive.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start Program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-318-1251. That's 800-318-1251. 800-318-1251.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Blockit Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. BlockitPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, what is your feeling about that? Is there a way that we can structure these questionnaires to get the information we need to better understand?
Well, we definitely could improve the way the questionnaires are made, but one of the challenge is that if you really want to explore a case and try to get more out of the specific case, you have to really understand the world of the person you're interviewing or the persons. And the first thing you need to do is really build trust. And I'll give you the case that they discussed before about the Hamilton couple. I mean, they would not tell me their marital affair problems right away. I discovered that like several years later, right? And so that one of the things that you have to be patient and you have to establish trust and understanding and go back to witnesses, you know, after 6 months, after a couple of years to see how they're doing. And eventually you may discover things that connects the dots much later on. And that's one of the challenges, those cases. If you do an approach that we have, like the one you described, quick questionnaires, you know, pack it, put it on a database, end of story, thank you, ma'am. I mean, that's not good science. We won't go very far with that.
I want to ask you also about specific cases that have complexity. So, for example, we have two notable cases where people were evidently injured in some way. So John Burroughs was one of the witnesses to Rendlesham, and he's been on the Paracast a couple of times, and he talks about what maybe would seem to be some kind of radiation poisoning. We have the Cash Landrum episode, same year, 1980. Again, people suffering from something that may have a radiation element to it. Now, if what they're seeing is psychological, parapsychological, or anything, how do they become injured by it? And Rendlesham is a case that you refer to in the book.
Yes, I mean, again, like I said, many cases in parapsychology, and it's not just UFOs, you will have a mixture of things. So you may have a real physical phenomenon, but it's not a spaceship from another world. It could be a variety of things. I mean, it could be a satellite that fell off and has some radioactive components to it. But because of the context and because of the beliefs, because of the unconscious situation of the people involved, you may have an anomaly that occurs as well. And people have an experience that this would be classified as UFO, as a UFO experience. But what actually burned them is something human-made or something natural. We have to be open to mixed explanations. The fact that someone has a physical injury doesn't mean that's a spaceship from another world. It could be something from down to earth, but their experience has anomalistic aspects to it.
Now, with the case of Rendlesham and Cash Landrum, I considered one explanation here as a test aircraft, testing a nuclear-powered aircraft that was leaking radiation. Certainly, in the 60s and 70s, at least, they were working on such things as a proper means of propulsion. I think even Stanton Friedman admits that.
Absolutely. I think, and we have to remember that until relatively recently, ethics in terms of testing things was not that high in the past. It's much better now. So, yeah, it's quite possible that they were testing some, new technology. Maybe it led to nothing useful, but they had to test it, and you had witnesses were the wrong place, wrong time. It's quite possible. But that the experience had also other components to it, of maybe of a parapsychological nature as well.
Interesting. Are you aware of the Yukon Fox Lake case?
I have a little bit of knowledge about it, but not much.
Okay, I think you might be interested in this if you are still, you know, writing about it or creating papers. This happened back in 1996 when over 30 people in separate locations reported seeing what to them was a football-sized field UFO near Fox Lake in the Yukon. And witnesses described rows of multicolored lights. They said it blocked out the stars and shot beams of light down onto the ground. Another witness said the tape deck in her car slowed down and the lights on her dashboard flickered, and you can watch a documentary about it, actually, if you go on to the YouTube. And now, skeptics have said that this object that was sighted was actually a re-entering Russian space probe. So it occurred about that time. It seemed to fit the right profile for something that was man-made, that people interpreted, like you're saying, within the realm of their social construct or their socialization, as some kind of UFO. And yet, some of the interpretations by those witnesses were not sufficient to be explained as a re-entering space probe, like hover over a lake. Other witnesses actually described seeing the craft much closer. So this is a really interesting case to look at in your perspective, where we've got something that happened that causes a real stimulus response that produces an experience that spans a wide range for people, if you get what I'm saying. Am I making any sense there?
Yes, it's one of the issue of skeptics try to explain things. They usually do generalizations that are quite questionable, and that's very unfortunate. But I don't know all the details of that case, but definitely it seems that the witnesses I describe things that are quite out of the extraordinary. There's variation in their description, which is normal. Maybe it is a case where we have something physical and that is actually not from this world. It could be a mix of things, you know, something from this world, very exotic, maybe a natural phenomenon of some sort, but creating anomalies. I mean, I'm open to approach this case with different approaches. But again, unfortunately, I don't know all the details to make a quick explanation about from a parapsychological perspective.
Right. It struck me as being an almost perfect case where what has happened is exactly what you're describing, where we've got the environment that is perfect for people interpreting something real as something paranormal, or in this case, some sort of an alien craft, and very, very clearly as an alien craft in some cases where you couldn't mistake it as re-entering space debris, for example. So it's, I think you would really probably find that one absolutely fascinating to delve into a little bit.
We have other fascinating things to delve into a little bit and a little bit more. We've got Gene, Randall, and Eric. That means you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hear that? That's the sound of a house being trashed while a gang of thieves ransack the place. And what they don't steal will be destroyed.
This year, resolve not to be the next victim of a break-in. Go to faketv.com and discover a device that creates the illusion someone inside is watching TV, even when you're miles away. Security is a mindset, and Fake TV should be part of your security solution. Be vigilant, but not fearful. faketv.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King. Deadly wildfires are raging in California. In Paradise, 10 people were killed in the most destructive fire in state history. The town was destroyed quickly due to high winds that fanned the flames and hampered aerial support. In Southern California,
the wind shifted this way, and it came down. And within 3 minutes, it went from, let's monitor it, to we were running for our lives.
Few people knew if their homes would remain standing when they left.
It was all in perfect condition 2.5 hours ago when I was standing there. It's sad, but, you know, we didn't get hurt, and that was the important part.
250,000 people in Southern California have been evacuated by wildfires. So far, nearly 200 homes have been destroyed in Los Angeles County. Many famous people have also reportedly lost their homes in Malibu. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed, or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. 800-586-7112. That's 800-586-7112.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
This is Kurt Sutton, the author of UFO Mysteries, and you're listening to the Paracast.
Eric Ouellette is joining us with Gene and Randall. Randall, you want to pick up on the discussions and maybe soon get into that question we have from the forum?
Right. Well, I think we kind of covered all we can with the Fox Lakes incident right away here. There's the other case, of course, in Canada, the Falcon Lake incident, where, like you mentioned, Gene, we have a witness who was burned by the experience. So, you know, hot exhaust from a craft that he physically touched. And so, I mean, that's rather hard to explain as some sort of psychological manifestation.
Yes, I mean, I touched on that case in my book, but again, I look at more of the larger context of when it happened in Canada, what was going on there. One of the things that I found fascinating is the symbolism involved in that case. And then some of the skeptics were saying that the burn he got could have been produced by other things. I don't know. I didn't dig into the physical aspect of that one case, but the witness appears all very sincere. There's no reason to not believe him. So it makes one of those cases, I would say, interesting. But my in that one specific case, I think it's the larger context that makes it more an anomaly, in a sense of it appears that many of the UFO events that are happening in Canada at that time had some sort of symbolic meaning of where they were happening or what time they were happening. So that's I found that case has more to it than just an individual seeing something physical and being burned by it. I think there's a lot more to it.
This is a good time to actually segue into the question we have on the question bank from Farlig Goldstein, who says he'd like to hear you talk about the Tehran UFO interception by F-4 Phantoms, which included ground and air crew visual on some sort of an object, radar detection, lock, and track.
Yes.
How do things like that happen? Do you have any comments on that case?
it's an interesting case. The number of explanations that have been given in the past about being American technology being tested, Russian technology, I mean, Soviet at the time. I don't know. One of the things that, again, is interesting is that that case happened not long before the Iranian Revolution that put the regime of the Shah out. Again, is it a collective stress of people sensing what's upcoming, and it manifested itself in that particular way, and whatever physically caused that, it was just an instrument of our collective unconscious to make it happen. That's how I would start to look into it, because the dates of those events are very interesting in the history of that country.
Yes, certainly. You can definitely look at things that occur against the background of the socio-political context and climate of the times. No question about it. However, I think a radar is rather neutral in that. See, it's not going to pick up something that isn't there.
And the radar is a complex machine, and they do have they pick up things that are very like concentration of air. You know, they will pick it up, and then there's all the electronics, how it interprets that data. Radars are far more complicated than we think. So we have to be careful about when we invoke the neutrality of radars, because there are, and even today, you know, there's sophisticated electronics and computation in there that will eliminate things and add things that are based on our assumptions of what, you know, we expect to see in the sky. So it's a bit more complicated than that when we talk about radar.
Well, definitely. I'd have to agree with you there that any piece of data that we get is subject to interpretation. So how we interpret it, that's really important. I'm the first to admit that I think strange things happen, and that it is our interpretation of those events that should be studied more, and to be sure that we're getting it right, if we can, if we can even do that. How can we do that then when we have these sorts of things? What sort of means could we use to prove one way or the other what's going on in these cases?
This is very difficult, because these are spontaneous cases. If there is something physical that caused it, it's gone. So there's no way to put our hands on it. So that's very difficult in many ways. And then if we look at the social aspect and the psychological aspect, the best we can do is actually try to correlate, you know, what happened, the symbolism of what happened at that time. That's the kind of proof, quote unquote, that you will see in social science that will not satisfy people who have a very narrow view of science. But in social science, that's how we do things. That's the correlations. That's the best we can do.
And Farley Goldstein also asks, it's not so much a question, but he hopes there will be some discussion on the more recent 2004 Tic Tac encounter, in which he says, according to Senior Chief Kevin Day, the ranking enlisted radar NCO on the supporting ships, talks about how these objects were tracked over the course of several days. And then, of course, we have the pilots, say David Fravor, who actually saw them with his own eyes as well. And while they were caught, well, not while, but later they were also caught by the cameras on other aircraft, infrared cameras, I believe. So I mean, it seems like from a combination of all these data points, we're not simply dealing with some sort of psychological manifestation. It doesn't seem reasonable to propose that. Exactly what it is, I'm not sure, but what do you think of that case? There's been quite a bit about it in the media over the last year.
Well, it's one of those interesting cases. It reminds me of the one in Belgium where you had many data points, things happening over a long period of time. Skeptics will probably say that it could be just testing a new technology. The radars, they picked up things. People saw lights. But, you know, is there really a craft out there that can be from another world, or something that can we just imitate because there's some technology that can do that? I don't know. Again, it's a fascinating case, and what I'm saying, I would say, is that even if there is something from another world that was involved in that, it would be useful to look at. Were there also other events in the general story that would be more parapsychological in nature? Maybe in some of those events, people didn't see anything physical, but they had to share telepathic events as well. I think it's worth to look at that dimension anyway, even if we're sure 100% there would be something physical, not from this world, behind it. It's worth looking at the other aspects as well.
That's a really interesting question. I don't think anyone has delved into the case from that particular aspect and interviewed people, crew members on the ships and pilots and so on, to determine if any other strange events happened while this entire sequence of events was going on in the sky.
Yes, and there might have been some tensions in the area that maybe they were chasing, Chinese or Russian submarines, who knows, and that's classified and for good reasons, but that tension might have participated in also to in creating the events. But that would be harder to find if there's something of that nature because of the military context in which it happened.
Right, but yes, from the cultural geographic perspective of Paul Kingsbury, though, I think that it should be included if possible. You know, getting that kind of data could be difficult, but it would be really fascinating. And I really like your sort of perspective on it, your take, your view into the cultural geographical aspect of the paranormal. And I'd like to see a map. How it all plays out, where you could have different, say, you know, how they have maps with regions of different religions marked out in different colors to identify people's different beliefs. It would be really interesting to see a map like that of different paranormal beliefs.
Let's do our break here. We've got Eric Brandelin Jean. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the purest for you and your family. For over 14 years, thousands have depended on Berkey Clean Water. The Berkey guy has you covered at home, work, and on the go. With water filtration systems of every size for every budget, now GCN listeners receive 10% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN at GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Randall posed a very interesting scenario there. Eric, would you have a response?
The question about the tic-tac observations?
No, more about the cultural geographical distribution of experiences.
It's really based on belief system. I mean, I had the chance to talk to a geographer who was doing that kind of research, and he was looking in native people from Canada. And he was trying to find older sacred places for them that are now developed, this small town and villages. But there were some areas that were not built, and he actually had an anomalistic experience during that research. And so it's interesting that even he was probably one of the few people who was really into understanding the sacredness of that landscape for that specific native groups, and he had an experience. So it can be very small in nature, or it can be very big if you think about, millions and millions of people sharing certain beliefs. The key example of the larger is, Marian apparitions. You know, people claim to see the Virgin Mary. In Portugal, this 10,000 people had the observation. In Egypt, talking about tens of thousands of people had experience like that. So that map would be actually very complex, because you could go to a very small, very tiny number of people to a very large number of people. So it would be complex things to do, but also could be quite interesting.
Have you done any of that, tried to actually plot out geographically the different types of phenomena as they're associated with the cultural background?
Yes, there are people who do that kind of research in academia, but they don't pay any attention to the anomaly or the whatever people consider something as a divine manifestation or sacred manifestation. But there are definitely people in the sociology of religion, for instance, who do this kind of association, but they don't. At best, they just say, we don't know what happens, and we're not looking into it. So that's just a different types of research, I would say.
This is really interesting because you also work as a strategic analyst at the Center for Operational Research and Analysis as part of the Defense Research and Development here in Canada. Now, the paranormal and these types of experiences could actually be used, I would think, in a defense type of way, a type of psyops, for example. And we've got people like John Alexander who says that, well, yes, in fact, the beliefs of people and cultures are used in a military context. How do you think that might fit into the picture here with the case of UFOs?
This goes back to an older subdiscipline called the sociology of rumors. Try to understand how a rumor sticks and others don't. And definitely, if you want to spread a rumor to help you in military terms or to achieve some strategic objectives, you have to pick something that people are already believing in some ways. So I was discussing that recently through my work, and one of the fascination they had is there's this rumor in the United States in Washington, D.C., that there was a satanic club through a pizzeria near the White House that, you know, abducting children. I mean, there's absolutely no foundation to this story after people researched it carefully. But they were asking themselves why the story is sticking. And a lot of people make stories every day, but they don't all stick. Then you have to look into the culture and the social context in the United States where, you know, there's the... A lot of people are worried about governments. They don't trust government. And so you had, child abuse into that mix, and yeah, it can stick. So when they do, people do information operations, that's what they do. The question is, was the UFO phenomenon used also for some information operations? Some people claim that it actually happened. I would say it maybe. I would say that in Canada, we certainly didn't do that. Again, this—if it's true, then it's actually enhanced the belief in UFOs as a alien phenomenon, and therefore, again, it may create conditions for genuine anomalies to occur.
Okay, a genuine anomaly could be the same as a genuine experience. Are we talking about a genuine experience or an independently objective material craft? When you say a genuine anomaly.
When I say genuine anomaly, I speak in parapsychological terms. So information was acquired through non-normal means, or matter was altered through non-normal means. That's what it is. The meaning.
So something people had a real experience. We're still not sure exactly what it was, but the experience was real. It wasn't just something that was made up like a hoax.
Correct.
Right. Okay. That's pretty interesting. We could even look back, I would suggest, to something like the Robertson panel that far back where people were concerned that the reporting of UFOs could actually cause more problems than the UFOs themselves. And therefore they brought in measures to try to downplay the whole thing.
Yes, that was, I would say, part of the paranoia of the Cold War, especially the early days of the Cold War, where they were so worried about what the Soviet Union might do. I think research have shown since that they were a bit exaggerating. But yes, it's an example of what people worry about. And it's important to understand that an idea or a rumor will stick because the social context is actually favorable to it, and it's very hard to change these things. So, if we want to tell a story, but has no socially speaking or culturally speaking makes no sense, there's no amount of disinformation that will actually make that information to stick. It just doesn't work. So we really have to look at the social context. So the point is I'm trying to make is that the people who do information operations are not almighty, far from it.
And I think you made another point briefly back when we were talking about the Nimitz UFO, the more recent Tic Tac event, that what we could be dealing with is actually some sort of exotic technology that we've created that is more easily covered up by explaining it as a UFO, something mysterious, something from another world. Oh, it wasn't ours. It must have been a UFO. And that could be used as disinformation or deflection from a strategic perspective. I think they did that back also in the early modern era with those skyhook balloons that people were reporting, but they were secret and people couldn't say, well, you know, it was a secret project. It must have been in a UFO or an alien or something.
Yes, but I think in most cases, what happens is that the people involved in those research don't speak. I mean, the example of the balloons that were used in the 50s, the research was classified, and they lost a number of those balloons because, you know, winds and stuff like that. And they actually, people were reading newspaper looking for stories of UFOs, so they have an idea to find their balloon they lost. It's a kind of the other way around. The stories were useful for finding their stuff, but they couldn't speak to people. And so today we have probably similar events where if something is tested, things goes wrong, and then people start to talk about UFOs. Well, the people involved in that research are not allowed to speak. And say to correct people, no, we're just doing testing. That's top secret technology. They can't do that. So they just let it go. But to actively spread the rumors about UFOs, that's another story. Greg Bishop identified a good case of that. But that's he was able to find the main guy involved in this, and he admitted it fairly easily. So. To see a big conspiracy into this, I have a hard time to see it because that's not how it works. And if there is a conspiracy, people talk. I mean, it took the people who found the Nixon conspiracy in 1973, just two journalists working on it part time, and they brought the most powerful man on Earth down. So conspiracies are hard to hide.
Now, remember, though, the two people who brought down Nixon were helped by the second in command from the FBI, Mark Felt, alias Deep Throat. Eric, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items. And entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Message and data rates may apply. Please don't text while driving.
If you've been in business more than 20 minutes, you've probably printed your logo on all kinds of promotional products. We all know logos work, because they're on everything from the top of skyscrapers to the bottom of shoes. Ever wondered why or how to best use your logo to grow your business? Let us show you today, for free. We're 4imprint, promotional product experts at your service. We're giving away the latest issue of Amplify, the digital magazine that reveals promotional product success stories absolutely free to everyone who texts UP77 to 88988. At 4imprint, we make your logo look perfect on thousands of promotional items. With our 100% guarantee, it'll be right the first time, on time, every time. Your free e-magazine will reveal invaluable insights that can attract new customers, build your brand, and grow your business. Get the latest issue of Amplify absolutely free by texting UP77 to 88988. That's UP77 to 88988.